may remain seated. The text that forms the basis for our sermon today is the gospel reading we just heard, the account of the Magi and their travels to find the promised king from Matthew chapter 2. Let us pray. O Lord, lead us by the light of your word to find the Christ whom you alone reveal in this text and in our lives and for our salvation. Amen. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed. The scene features Burt Reynolds stuck out in the middle of a lake, crying out, "Lord, I want to live." In the 1978 film, we find Burt Reynolds stuck out in the middle of a lake, trying to drown himself because life has gotten so bad. But at the last minute, he changes his mind and he bursts out of the water and says, "Lord, I want to live. I don't want to die. If you'll just save me, I promise to do better." And so he starts swimming and he starts praying. "I want to live. Lord, I promise to do better. Make me a better father. Make me a better person. Only, above all, make me a better swimmer." And there he goes, swimming his way to shore, promising that if the Lord saves him, he'll become something better. He's trying to make a deal with the Lord, trying to cut a bargain. Is that how God works? Bringing us his miracles because we're able to make a deal with him? Sometimes we think that way when our life isn't going as we imagined. Why is God taking so long? This isn't how I pictured it. Lord, if you'll just do this, then I'll do that. And we start trying to manipulate God's miracles. But God doesn't work through momentary miracles, and he won't be manipulated by us or this world. God's not interested in momentary miracles, because he's come to give us an eternal epiphany. And that's just what our text is about. That God alone is the one who makes miracles happen. It doesn't come because of our scheming or lying. It doesn't come because of our wisdom or worthiness, but it comes alone because God reveals it in his gracious will. And he reveals it when he wants to, where he wants to, and to whom he wants to. It is God alone who manipulates a Magi miracle. So he's swimming and he's praying and he says, "Lord, I'll give you 50% of my income. That's more than anybody gives, if you'll just get me to shore." But as he's praying, he starts to notice he's getting closer to shore. He's swimming along and pretty soon he's getting closer. And the closer he gets, the more and more he backs off of those promises. "Lord, I think I'm going to make it. I'm ready to get right to donating that 10%, I promise. Well, I know I said 50, but 10 is a good place to start for me, right? Lord, if you'll just save me." You know, King Herod wasn't really much interested in giving up something for the Lord. He was used to getting what he wants, when he wants, where he wants. He was a power-hungry tyrant. The history books record how ruthless he was, and also very good at scheming, a good politician. In his later years, he became compounded by paranoia, afraid that someone was going to take away his throne and his heritage. And so he ended up killing his close associates. He killed his wife. He killed two of his sons. He wasn't interested in giving up assent. And especially not for this other king. When the Magi come to Jerusalem, it stirs up the whole city because they're wondering, how is Herod going to react? You know, later in Matthew chapter 2, he murders innocent babies because he's trying to find Jesus and kill him. But it's not just the people who are afraid. There's really a fear inside of Herod. He's afraid of losing something. Behind all the fear is insecurity, suspicions, that fear of losing control. He doesn't want to lose control. The cost is too much. The idea that there could be some other king, some other god that would rule in his place troubles him. And he says, go to Bethlehem, find this child, and bring back word to me that I too may come and worship him. Well, his plans weren't really to worship Jesus, were they? Fear has a way of making us scheme. Try to find ways to get around what we're afraid of, to not face the pain of what's in front of us. It has a way of making us lie and scheme in order to not have to face the truth, the cost of finding out what is truly right for us. And so we say all kinds of things. I promise I'll never ask for anything again. Or we say, the only way I'm really going to sell this house is if I don't tell them about the broken sewer pipe that's under the floor in the basement. We scheme, trying to protect ourselves, trying to make things work out the way we imagined it. It's okay as long as no one gets hurt, as long as my wife doesn't find out. And so Burt Reynolds says, when he's almost ashore, Lord, I'll never cheat again at business. Just as soon as I get rid of that 9 acres out in the desert. For all the lies, for all the scheming that we try to manipulate, we're really just trying to get away from our flesh. Trying to protect our flesh so that it can have things his way. But for all the lies, all the scheming, it never leads us to the miracle that God intends to give. Because God intends to give a miracle to each of us in each of our lives. And so God needs to intervene. He needs to change the course of actions. He needs to bring Herod's throne down. And he needs to bring our thrones down too. But if it's not the lying and the scheming that's going to control the course of events, maybe it's something else. Maybe it's how good we are, how pious we are, how wise we are. As Burt Reynolds swims along asking the Lord to save him, he's making those promises and he says, Lord, I'll obey, if you save me, I'll obey the Ten Commandments, every one of them. I won't kill anyone. I won't commit adultery. I'll learn the Ten Commandments, and then I'll obey them. Lord, just let me live. But is that how God's miracles work? Is there our wisdom or our worthiness that makes God do what he does? Behold, wise men from the east. The Greek word is magi. These men are often pictured in art and literature as wise men, pious and noble, making their journey so far. And then the manger scene appears and they're right behind the shepherds. They're just about there, right on time like they're supposed to be. But was that really how it happened? You know, some churches promote the idea that if you're wise enough or if you're worthy enough, God will bless you. If you're pious enough, if you have enough faith, you can expect miracles to happen in your life. A better job, better health. They'll speak of faith healers. So that if you pray fervently enough, if you have enough faith, God will heal you of any ailment. You just need to lay some hands on, you need to pray, and you need to have faith. And if you're not being healed, well, the answer is simple. You don't have enough faith. Do you see how this kind of thinking is kind of like trying to manipulate God? It leads us to be the source of what God's going to do for us. Our faith, our prayers, our commitment. It really leads you to that place where you start saying, well, if you want to be saved, then you need to do something. You need to find Christ. You need to pray the sinner's prayer. You need to sincerely and honestly and fervently and feverishly and frantically repent and ask God to forgive you. Then he'll forgive you. But all this talk makes it seem like it's on us to make God do something. When all along, God's ready to do the stuff before we've done anything. Our actions don't put anything into God's mouth. And these wise men are really not as wise as we would picture them. In fact, the Greek word magi gives us our English word magician. The magi were Gentile astrologers. They came from a foreign land. The other reference we have in scriptures to magi is in the book of Daniel, where they are alongside of all of the religious servants of King Nebuchadnezzar. They're listed alongside sorcerers and wizards. These men were superstitious, pagan astrologers. They study the stars out of superstition to try to predict the future. They come so far, but they really don't appear right behind the steps of the shepherd. In fact, what really happens? If you read onward, it seems that it could have taken them up to 2 years to make this journey. They end up in the wrong city. They find the wrong king. And if not for that prophecy that the religious leaders bring, would they find Christ? Did it have anything to do with their wisdom, their worthiness? Are they really wise men? God will not be influenced by our promise to obey the Ten Commandments. Even if you know more commandments than Burt Reynolds, even if you know all ten, do you keep them? Can you really make a deal with God? You see, God won't be swayed to bless us based on how fervently we pray or how much we can believe, because he knows better. He knows these promises are going to fail. They're going to come up short in one way or another because they're based on what we need to do. We're Gentiles. We're foreigners to the covenant of God. We're far off. We're wandering. We're lost. And we need God to reveal an epiphany. It's what Paul calls a mystery in Ephesians chapter 3. Something hidden that God needs to reveal in order for us to know it. Something that only God can reveal. Behold, magi from the east. So if it's not according to our scheming and lying, and if it's not according to our wisdom or worthiness, why should we see the Christ? Well, it's because God reveals the Christ when and where and to whom he wills. He reveals Jesus according to his gracious will and nothing else. What are the odds? What are the odds that the Magi would make their way to Jesus? When you think of everything that was going against them, when you think of them being Gentiles, unbelievers, lost, ending up in the wrong city, the wrong king, the true king is hidden away in some lowly village, in some lowly family, what are the odds that they would make their way all the way to Jesus? They have nothing more than a star. And this is because it is according to God's gracious will. His son has come in the most unexpected of ways. A king who doesn't sit in the palace throne in Jerusalem, but who is in a lowly village called Bethlehem. A king who doesn't come to cling to his riches, afraid and suspicious and insecure and scheming to try to hang on to what he's been given. No, he actually gives it up. He gives up all the riches of heaven to come for us and to be our king. Who would have imagined that God would do such a thing? This is the light which shines. This is the star which leads you to safety. This is the good news which comes into your life and brings you a miracle. What are the odds when we've come from so far, when we are Gentiles, sinners, lying and scheming and manipulated by our own sinful flesh, God's light shines. Despite everything we have going against us, God saves us, forgives us, calls us his own, and shines a light in your life. When, where, to whom? Well, to you. Here, now, a light has shined. You don't need to see it to know it's there, because we walk by faith and not by sight. We often must wait. We often end up in the wrong places, at the wrong times, looking at the wrong things. We often take detours, are delayed, are plotted against, just like the Magi. We have all kinds of things going against us, but there's that star. When everything's mounting against us, there it is, shining in Bethlehem. When evil is plotting against you, scheming to get you and to get you off course, there it is. When you have nothing to go on except for this promise of God, there it is. Because it is the promise. That's how God leads us. That's how he guides us. He will be shepherd of God's people who will lead you to his purpose, in his time, and according to his gracious will. Let us rejoice with the Magi, not just a little bit, but with exceedingly great joy. For God has manipulated a miracle in your life. You know what Burt Reynolds says when he finally makes it to shore? "You saved me, Lord, but you were the one that got me into this mess in the first place." How quickly the world turns. How soon our promises and commitments fail. We're really the ones to blame. God didn't get us into this mess. We did. Our sins did. And we have nothing to negotiate. We can't manipulate God's miracles by scheming or lying, by our wisdom or worthiness. Instead, it is God alone, by his gracious will, that saves us. That saves us from our own messes by forgiving all of our sins for Jesus' sake and shining the light of his word to lead us safely home. It's a Magi miracle. It's an eternal epiphany.